Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we are beginning a five-week sermon series on generosity. And this will be the first of three sermon series for the summer. And when I think about people that I have known who are generous, a lot of people come to mind. Some of you are among those people. But this week I was thinking particularly about one such person. Miss Minnie. You see, I worked with Miss Minnie at UNLV in Las Vegas before we moved to Chicago so I could go to seminary. And when I got to campus, Miss Minnie was already working there. She'd worked on campus for, I don't know, probably a couple decades before I was there. And when I first met her, she was a service manager in the dining commons, meaning she was responsible for all of the customer service aspects of feeding the students who lived on campus. And for Miss Minnie, everyone was her customer. And everyone was worthy of being served. Now, this extended beyond the students and the staff and the faculty who ate in the dining commons. Miss Minnie also served her employees, many of whom were students. She served her coworkers. She served her bosses. And she served our client. And I could think of countless examples that I could have told you about where Miss Minnie was generous. You see, every year she would volunteer to work on Thanksgiving so nobody else would have to work and they could be with their families. And then instead of just getting through the day, Miss Minnie would plan and cook a phenomenal meal for the students who had nowhere else to go on that holiday and serve it to them there in the dining commons. And Miss Minnie could cook. Originally from Arkansas, oh, she could cook. Miss Minnie's Thanksgivings were so legendary. One year when my parents came at Thanksgiving, we went to the dining commons for Thanksgiving dinner rather than bothering cooking for ourselves or going out to a restaurant. And it was amazing. Miss Minnie would often ask me to stop by the dining commons before I left work for the day because she had made something for me to take home to our kids. She called them her babies. And whenever we were flying back here to California to visit our family, Miss Minnie always sent me with food for the kids because for that 1 hour flight because she didn't want her babies to get hungry. Miss Minnie never had children of her own. But when she discovered that her husband had had a child with another woman, she made the decision to accept and love that child and raise her as part of her family. Miss Minnie is generous. The parable we read in our gospel reading today might not seem to be so much about generosity, but I think it can be. This parable is told by Jesus as part of the Olivet Discourse, and here he is trying to answer the disciples' questions about when is the day and time when the Son of Man will return. It's often referred to as an apocalyptic parable because of the judgment that takes place when the landowner returns from his journey. And such an interpretation suggests that the landowner represents Jesus and his promised return when he has promised to return in glory to judge the living and the dead. But remembering that this is a parable, we should be careful when we assume that it can only be interpreted as an allegory where each person has somebody who they represent. You see, sometimes a parable is simply a story told to illustrate a point. And this story draws our attention to the importance of how we utilize the gifts that we have been given, those talents that we have been entrusted with. The story begins with the man, the landowner, giving talents to three of his slaves who, I'm sure, rather than referring to them as slaves, I think most of us would be more comfortable with the term servant, which is probably more appropriate to how they were considered at the time. And a talent, I mean, it's not a term that we necessarily use today. It would have been considered a sizable amount of money. But this parable isn't just about money. It's about anything that we have been given, anything that we have been entrusted with. When the man returns after his long journey, after a long time, two of the slaves, we read, have doubled the talents that they were given. And the master, the man, replies, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant." And then he says, "Because you have been trustworthy in a few things, I will entrust you with more things." If that's all he said, I'm sure the servants would have felt pretty good about it. However, the real reward for them came when the man said, "Enter into the joy of your master." Enter into the joy of your master. You see, he was inviting them to share in his joy, to share in his happiness, to share in his blessedness. And what more could a servant or a person hope for than to be invited to share in the joy of another? If the parable stopped here, it'd be a good story, right? Positive, upbeat. I think it'd be okay to stop there, but it doesn't. It's all good until we hear from the servant who was given that one talent. Unlike the two servants, this servant begins his conversation with the master by accusing him of being a harsh man and reaping where he did not sow and gathering what he did not scatter. They say every good defense begins with a good offense. And he comes out of the gate guns. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, he comes out of the, you know, with his excuses all lined up. Up until this point, we have no reason to think negatively of the master, right? It's been nothing but love and mutuality. The servant was afraid of his master, so he buried the talent that he was given and takes no accountability for his actions. He places all the blame upon the master. There's no trust between this servant and the master, the same master that the other two have. There is no trust. And when there is no trust, accusations fly. And we become guarded. And we hold tightly to what we have. This is not generous behavior. This is self-preservation. Now, whether the servant's behavior was called for or not, it's unclear. We know the accusations fly in the story. But what is clear is that his relationship with the master is very different than the first two servants. Rather than being told that he is a good and trustworthy servant, the master calls him wicked and lazy. Yikes. Beloved, we too have been given talents. We've been given treasures. Our very lives we have been given by the one some call master. Others refer to God as Father, Creator, or Judge. And God has given us all that we have and all that we are. And God has entrusted us with these good gifts. The gift of creation, the gift of our time, the gift of our words, right? Words matter. Our money, our skills, the gift of love. Think about love as a gift. The question for us is, how are we going to use these gifts? Are we going to bury them? Are we going to hide them because we're afraid of our master? Are we going to hide them because we're afraid of other people? Are we going to utilize them and share them for the good of others? Thinking of others before ourselves. That may sound familiar, as last month we read from Paul's letter to the Philippians in the second chapter. where Paul told the Philippians to think of others ahead of themselves. Right? He's got to be kidding. But then he goes on in chapter 2 to explain that Jesus, though he was God, generously lowered himself, taking on the form of a human to become like us. Not because he needed to, but because we needed him to, so that we might come to see and know God. So we might come to see and know what love looks like. Generosity is thinking about others and their needs. It's about holding loosely to these things that we have been given rather than hoarding them and holding them tight only for ourselves. Generosity is about trust. Generosity is about love. Recently, I've heard stories about how some families have dealt with the inheritances that they have received. Heartbreaking. Stories of siblings fighting with each other over resources or talents that were being given to them by dear departed parents or grandparents who generously left them to them. They fight as though the money, as though these talents was theirs, as if they had done something to earn it, and that somehow they deserved it, and nobody else did. And all of this given to them as a gift. A gift. And they don't want others to have the same gift or the same share. The same is true of everything that we have been given by God. It comes as gift. And how we use those gifts, much like any inheritance we might receive, should honor and reflect the love that we have for the one who gave it. They should honor and reflect the love that we have for the one who gave it to us. And there is no one more generous than God, who has given us the very lives that we live, and every opportunity to enter into the joy of a relationship with him. So let us be generous with the inheritance that we have been given, with the gifts that we have been given by God that we don't deserve, so that others too might enter into the joy of our Master. Amen.